You are currently the only person in this conference.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. This is Sarah Pennington. I work with Kentuckians for the Commonwealth. I'm a new energy and transition organizer. We're going to get started on the call here in just a minute, but before we do that, I'm just going to do a little bit of a rolling introduction here to give folks another minute to dial in and talk a little bit about the technology. So on this call right now, everyone who has dialed in as a participant is on mute, and so you'll be on mute throughout the call. And we'll have a time for question and answer later in the session, and then there'll also be an opportunity to participate by answering some poll questions at the very end of the call. So you'll have some instructions when we get to that. And we have a few presenters, so they'll come off mute when it's their time to talk with you. And then when we get to the question and answer period, you'll have instructions about how to raise your hand and ask questions of our presenters that you'll be hearing from. So we'll go ahead and get started now. Like I said earlier, my name is Sarah Pennington. I'm a new energy and transition organizer with Kentuckians for the Commonwealth. And just so everybody, make sure you're on the right call. This is the Reclaim Act Action Call. And so this is hosted by Kentuckians for the Commonwealth. So the call will be applicable to folks who live outside Kentucky as well. KFTC is a 35-year-old grassroots social justice organization. We're a statewide organization working on a broad range of issues. One of those is the area that we call Just Transition. And we're in alliances with folks all across the country working different communities working for a just transition from an extractive economy to a good economy that is good for all people. And so our work here in Kentucky, a large part of it is related to Appalachia and but also beyond. But we know that just transition is applicable all across the country. And so a big part of for us for that work is the Reclaim Act, which you'll hear more about here in Kentucky, but it's also applicable to areas all across the country, and anyone who has a federal representative can also be a part of this, no matter where you are. So now you won't hear from me for a while to the very end of the call, and I'm going to hand it over to Eric Dixon with Appalachian Citizens Law Center, who's going to lead us through the call. Go ahead, Eric.
All right. Hey, everybody. My name is Eric. Like Sarah was saying, I'm at Appalachian Citizens Law Center in Appalachian, Kentucky. I work on economic transition issues like mine reclamation. And you know, many of you who are on the call today have engaged around the Reclaim Act in the past, but many of you may be new to engagement around the bill. And so we're going to do a brief review and update on the Reclaim Act this afternoon, this evening. And we'll also talk about some related just transition legislation. So if you've tuned in tonight, you're actually in for a treat because we've got some really great news about some related stuff that hasn't really exploded in the press. So it'll be great to talk about that a little bit. And then we'll also hear from grassroots leaders and experts on the Reclaim Act on the call tonight, and take some time for questions from you all. So tonight you'll hear from Sarah Bowling and Katie Dollarhide about why the Reclaim Act matters to them, and in particular why they're concerned about some of the new bill language. You'll also hear from Ben Gilmer of Refresh Appalachia, who will talk about a specific real-world project in Mingo County, West Virginia, that he's working on that is the type of project that could be supported by the Reclaim Act. So we'll hear more about that from Ben. But why don't we go ahead and get started? Sarah Bowling is gonna start us off tonight with a little review of where this proposal, the Reclaim Act, came from. Where it originated in the first place, and some of the steps that it's gone through Congress in the past year or so. Sarah, do you want to take it from there?
Concern about the country.
There we go.
Can you hear me?
And actually,
again?
Yeah, you were on mute for a second. Okay. So if you just want to, if you just want to restart, I think that'd be great.
Sure. Hey, everybody, I'm Sarah. As of today, $10 billion will be required to clean up all of the historic abandoned coal mines thrown about the country. These are unreclaimed surface mines and polluted streams. They threaten public health, and if you've lived in a community with abandoned mines, you know just how seriously they deter economic development. But what if you could turn these problems into opportunities? For years, communities have been calling for the federal government to disperse the Abandoned Mine Land Fund. This is money that was collected from the coal industry over the past 40 years for the purpose of mine reclamation, but is currently tied up in Washington. In 2015, this policy idea was taken up in President Obama's proposed Power Plus plan, a set of initiatives designed to assist communities struggling with the decline of coal. One piece of the Power Plus plan was a proposal to disperse $1 billion of the Abandoned Mine Land Fund to be invested in mine reclamation projects designed to create long-term economic opportunities on reclaimed mines. After the announcement of the Power Plus plan, we saw something pretty incredible across Appalachia. Communities organized. Across the Appalachian region of West Virginia, Tennessee, Virginia, and Kentucky, 28 local governments and representative bodies passed resolutions urging their legislators to pass the Power Plus plan. If you look at the resolutions, virtually all of them include strong language about the vision that people see for a bright future in their communities. So what happened next? In 2016, Congressman Hal Rogers, a Republican who represents East Kentucky, where half of these resolutions had passed, introduced the Reclaim Act, which mirrors the $1 billion mine reclamation proposal in the Power Plus plan. Throughout last year, groups in Appalachia and across the country continued to push this bill forward. While the bill's strongest support in Appalachia, or is in Appalachia, where there is a heavy concentration of abandoned mines and struggling local economies, it is important to note that this is not just an Appalachian bill. It would deliver tens of millions of dollars across the country for these projects, including in many states in the Midwest and West. In December of last year, hundreds of you called your legislators and participated in actions urging your legislators to pass the Reclaim Act. While the bill didn't pass last year, it was introduced by Senator Manchin and others in the Senate in the waning moments of last Congress and continued to gain momentum going into 2017. Then we entered this new Congress, and in March, an amended version of the Reclaim Act was introduced by Congressman Rogers and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, a huge deal. Senator Manchin introduced a separate bill of the same name. So what's in the new bill? I'll pass it over to Eric to talk a little bit about that.
Great. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. So this new McConnell-Rogers Reclaim Act that was introduced in March, actually there's some language in it that's very concerning. So the new bill abandons the economic development and community engagement provisions of the Reclaim Act, which is a big concern for ACLC and many other groups who would like to see a main intent of the bill kept intact. And what do I mean by that? So the Reclaim Act that is in Congress right now has two explicit goals in the language. It enumerates two goals that it sets out to achieve. One, use $1 billion to reclaim abandoned coal mines. And two, spur economic diversification on reclaimed mine sites. So we support both of these goals of reclaim. Both of these are really important. But the new Reclaim Act has been changed, and the text of the bill actually doesn't live up to this goal number two. So the way that the bill is actually written doesn't sort of live up to this second goal of prioritizing economic diversification. And, you know, you're probably wondering specifically what does that mean? How is it not prioritized? So specifically, the Reclaim Act last year, so the Reclaim Act of 2016, included language that prioritized economic diversification and stakeholder collaboration for reclamation projects on all mine sites. That's priority 1, priority 2, and priority 3 mine sites. And the problem is that the new Reclaim Act language only prioritizes economic diversification and stakeholder collaboration for projects on priority three sites, not priority one and priority two. And the priority three sites actually only make up about 25% of the country's abandoned coal mines. So the concern here is that the Reclaim Act's full potential will only be achieved if these provisions around economic diversification are included for projects on all mine sites, priority one through three mine sites. And in order to achieve the greatest return on that investment, this $1 billion, I think needs to be invested in mine reclamation projects that also have long-term economic ideas or reuses in mind. So while mine reclamation itself is really important and crucial, the current bill represents an enormous missed opportunity in that it doesn't make these available funds, this $1 billion, go further than just the reclamation in a way that it could, and in a way that the previous bill, the previous language, did. It's also important to recognize the need for states to have flexibility in choosing sites and projects, and we want to make sure that this bill is written so that states can make full use of the reclaim funds, regardless of whether you're in Appalachia or in the Midwest or in the West. And some of you who have been following this may have seen there was a hearing on the Reclaim Act in the House about a month ago. This happened in early April, and it was a committee hearing on the bill. And at this point, a number of groups are engaging in an attempt to change the language so that it addresses these concerns that I've been noting and enable states with different contexts to make full use of the reclaim funds. We're sort of going about this in a way that maintains a path for passage if and hopefully when these concerns are addressed. So at this point, we're seeing what appear to be positive signs in terms of legislators taking consideration of these concerns that we've been raising. Congressman Rogers' office does seem to be hearing our concerns and engaging in good faith, but it's important that sponsors of this bill and members of the committee that the bill is in hear from constituents like you, and that addressing these concerns around economic development and community engagement are a priority moving forward. So that's sort of where the reclaim is at right now. A sort of crash course there on the origins of the bill and sort of how it's moved over the past year, kind of bringing us up to the current status of where we're at right now. And we'll hear a little bit more in a second from Sarah and Ben and Katie about the Reclaim Act. But before I turn it back over to Sarah, I wanted to talk a little bit about three other initiatives I think just transition related initiatives that are really important, I think, to mention on this call tonight, because many of you have engaged around these as well, and they're really huge wins, and it's really important to celebrate those when you've got them. So in that spirit, I'm going to move through these hopefully pretty quickly. First is the AML pilot project. So in the 2016 federal budget, this was more than a year ago, in the previous year's federal budget, Congress included $90 million to pilot the idea of mine reclamation projects with an economic development bent. And they piloted that in three different states, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and West Virginia. And I just wanted to make the distinction on the call tonight between the Reclaim Act and the AML pilot project, because they're very related. They're both about mine reclamation with sort of this economic development angle, but they're actually different initiatives. And the great news is that as of last week, at the urging of Congressman Rogers and others, the new federal spending bill that passed at the very beginning of May actually continues and increases the AML pilot to $105 million for 2017, and it extends that funding to three more states, Ohio, Virginia, and Alabama. So that's really encouraging, and it also, you know, we also have more work to do. Looking forward, Trump's proposed budget would actually eliminate that AML pilot project. There were two other victories in this spending bill, though, that I want to note. This is sort of the second one, was a provision that, and this one did kind of make it into the news, and it was a really big deal in that the spending bill included a provision that permanently secures the health care of more than 22,000 retired United Mine Workers of America miners and their families. So these miners had been promised health care when they went into work, when they went into the mines, but this fund that the UMW manages that supports their health care, it's been in trouble due to a number of factors, including recent coal company bankruptcies of Patriot Coal, Alpha Natural Resources, and other coal companies, as well as market impacts of the Great Recession and the decline more generally of the coal industry. So this is an issue that the union, the UMWA, has led, and that many of you on this call have advocated for over the past year. And it's just a huge victory that the spending bill includes a provision that secures health care for these miners and their families. And also there was a related provision related to securing the pensions of these retired miners that wasn't included in the spending bill. So that's something that we should sort of note, that moving forward, that's something we still have to figure out. But it's definitely significant that the healthcare part of this sort of has been solved. And then finally, I wanted to note that the spending bill includes $80 million for the Power Initiative. And the Power Initiative are funds that come through a number of agencies, but most notably the Appalachian Regional Commission and the Economic Development Administration. And this is basically funding that helps coal communities diversify their local economies. So we saw the Appalachian Regional Commission especially, but also other agencies like the EDA, roll out this money last year. Throughout the year in a number of communities, really funding some very exciting new projects around economic diversification. And it was just kind of surprising, frankly, and very, very exciting to see that the Appalachian Regional Commission will see $50 million for the Power Initiative, and the Economic Development Administration will see $30 million, which is actually up $15 million from what they received last year. So again, that's totaling $80 million for the Power Initiative for FY 2017. We still have work to do for the budget, the FY 2018 budget that Congress is supposed to pass by the end of September, but wanted to note what did happen a couple weeks ago with this latest spending bill. So with that, I will go ahead and pass it back to Sarah Bowling, who will talk a little about her background and about why this legislation is so important to her. So, Sarah, do you want to take it away?
Sure, Eric. Thanks. So I grew up in Eastern Kentucky in Pike County, and both sides of my family, both my mom's family and my father's family, have worked in the mines. My dad's family, I don't even know, we at least three generations of deep miners, two of which retired from the mines. And then on my mom's side, my grandfather was in more of a management capacity. I left the state of Kentucky and came back about a year and a half ago, 2 years now. And in the 10 years that I was gone, the economic decline was very noticeable to me when I came back, and even as recently as a couple of weeks ago when I went into my hometown, businesses are closed, and storefronts are empty, and it just continues to keep happening. And even though I'm from Pikeville, which has managed to kind of grow and prosper during this really difficult time, you can still see the effects. You know, where there used to be kind of a booming downtown where people own their homes, now you see rental properties that aren't taken care of and in abandoned buildings. And kind of all of that is the basis for why I care about the Reclaim Act. You know, abandoned mine sites are hazardous, period. You know, they're hazardous to human lives. They're hazardous to people's property, and they're hazardous to the environment. I can remember a time when, you know, I felt safe getting in the stream by my grandparents' house, and that is not a thing that I would do today. So the Reclaim Act would create an estimated 4,600 new reclamation jobs for folks like the laid-off coal miners and others who have those earth-moving skills necessary for the reclamation work. So it would put people that are out of work back to work using a skill set that they already have to do work that's vital and necessary for their health and the health of Eastern Kentucky. So, like, that to me is a win-win. However, with the language as it is currently, only prioritizing or incentivizing those priority three sites, I see that as maybe problematic. As Eric mentioned, you know, priority three sites are only 25% of abandoned mine sites. And so Eastern Kentucky and places that have these abandoned sites would already, in a longer period of time, get this money back to reclaim these sites. But the vision that I have for Eastern Kentucky and Central Appalachia and places like Eastern Kentucky and Central Appalachia involves the ability to prosper and grow. And the way that I see to do that is to invest in the communities and to use this money and really leverage it for all that it's worth. And the way that I see to do that is to prioritize for all three priorities. So successful AML pilot program applied the economic development nexus to projects on priority 1, 2, and 3 sites. The AML pilot project applied the economic development nexus to all, right, not just the priority 3. And the AML pilot continues to be touted by Rogers and McConnell as highly successful. So to me, it would make sense to use this reclaim bill to also do that, creating innovative reclamation projects that turn old pollution liabilities into economic drivers is a huge opportunity. And we've already seen remarkable case studies of what's possible with tourism, renewable energy, and agriculture on reclaimed sites in Appalachia. A reclaimed surface mine in Tennessee is home to a wind farm that has the capacity to power 3,400 households annually. In Virginia, a winery whose vineyards are located on a reclaimed surface mine has been thriving for more than a decade. And next up, we're going to hear from Ben Gilmer about an innovative mine reclamation project in southern West Virginia. You want to take it over, Ben?
Sure. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. My name is Ben Gilmer. I'm president of Refresh Appalachia. We are a social enterprise of the Coalfield Development Corporation. And I'm actually from Russell County, Virginia, not too far from Kentucky, less than an hour drive. I grew up on a farm there, and my dad's a coal miner, and pretty much everyone in my family's been in the mining community. And I'm now in West Virginia, in Kanawha County, and we work in southern West Virginia, Coalfield Development Corporation. And our mission is to provide job training, education, and personal development opportunities in the coal fields of West Virginia. And we do that. We hire unemployed and underemployed folks, a lot of laid-off coal miners. And they come on with us for 2.5 years. And we have what we call a 33-6-3 model. That's where they work 33 hours a week on the job training. 6 hours a week, they're going to school, working toward an associate's degree. And then 3 hours a week, we have personal development work that could range from personal finance management to parenting, healthy eating, all the life skills that we all need to reach our potential. So that's our model. We have enterprises in solar and tourism and woodworking, construction, environmental reclamation and restoration, remediation. And then Refresh Appalachia, the enterprise I work in, we're focused on agriculture and food systems. And we have six farms in southern West Virginia that we operate through our job training program, and also a regional food hub that moves product from air farms, but also other farmers in the region to help get their product into to new markets. And we're really fortunate, really excited to have a new project in Mingo County that I'll talk a little bit about that was funded through the AML pilot fund that Eric mentioned earlier. The first round of funding that came through West Virginia was one of the states that received the funding. And with their partners, the Mingo County Redevelopment Authority, Southern Community Technical College, and Williamson Health and Wellness Center, we received funding to develop an aquaponics facility on an abandoned mine in Mingo County. And you're probably wondering what's aquaponics. And that's it's basically a way to sustainably produce fish and vegetables in a controlled environment. So the fish waste is used as a fertilizer input to the plants, and the plants in turn can help clean the water that goes back to the fish. So it's this closed-loop system for sustainable fish and vegetable production. But in addition to that, this project actually reclaims two abandoned mine portals that are hazardous. They're right off Route 52. People go in them all the time. And so it combines mine reclamation, food production that I just mentioned, also renewable energy, job creation, job training. And someone on the call earlier mentioned turning problems into opportunities. And we say that as well with this project, turning a liability into an asset. So this facility is actually going to be 100% renewable energy. We're using the abandoned mine portal as geothermal energy, so piping in some of the air and water to help offset our energy costs of the facility. And then what remaining energy is needed, we're using solar panels to provide the energy for the facility. And the food will be distributed to regional markets like grocery stores, some of our direct market programs, but also to lower a big emphasis on lower income communities throughout the coal fields, which lack readily sort of affordable and access to fresh, healthy food. So that's one of our outcomes as well. We'll be hiring unemployed folks from the region to actually operate the facility. We expect to have 10 to 12 full-time employees actually running the facility, and estimated up to 60 jobs created for the construction and sort of indirect jobs that follow once the facility is built. So it's a big opportunity for Mingo County and the town of Kermit in particular, where this facility is going. And our partnership with the local community and technical college, we're using the facility. It's a commercial facility, but we're also using it as a classroom for their agriculture program that's starting up. So students will have access to come in there and learn state-of-the-art technology that we hope can be replicated in other coalfield communities. And that's really our vision with this project, is how do we use what we have, how do we reclaim the liability, turn it into an asset, and create a model that can be financially sustainable and provide food to communities that need it, that could be replicated throughout the coalfield. The project itself was, as I mentioned before, the first round of AML funding. So that comes through the Federal Office of Service Mining, and in West Virginia, that funding is administered through the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection. So we applied for the funding, put together a partnership, and both the Federal OSM Office and DEP have been really great to work with. They're really excited about the project, the opportunity here, and they've been very supportive. And we couldn't be more excited about it, and we feel very thankful to have this. And we want to see more opportunities like this. We think there's real potential to to put people to work, doing meaningful work, and create an economic opportunity, lasting opportunity from a program like this.
Great. Thanks so much, Ben. Really great to hear about that project and what these projects can actually look like in real life in a community. So really appreciate you sharing that. At this point, I'm going to pass it over to Katie Dollarhide, who's going to talk a little about her background as well, why she cares about Reclaim, and also why she cares about the economic diversification piece of this for Future in the Mountains here. Katie?
Thanks a lot. Ben, you're a hard act to follow, I'll just say that right off the bat, but sounds like you're doing some great stuff for sure. So I'm Katie Dollarhide, and I live in Letcher County, Kentucky, and a lot of great stuff going on in Whitesburg, Kentucky, a lot of entrepreneurs going on here, agriculture, a lot of stuff going on in the city of Whitesburg. And so there's a lot of things going on, like I said, entrepreneur-wise. And with the Reclaim Act, there was some stuff going on in December. We tried to hunt down Senator McConnell, and we didn't do a good job of hunting him down, or he done a good job of not being found, maybe. And we were trying to get the Reclaim Act passed then, and the original wording, and that didn't happen. And I'm glad now that he's picked it up and going with it. I wish that and hope that he goes back to the original wording and picks up the language as it was, because we're missing out with the key language as it was, because that's the driver in this. I really believe that's the real driver in the future of this. The stimulus, the economic stimulus, is the driver in this package deal that they're trying to leave out. And so my grandfather was a coal miner. My brother was a coal miner. My uncles were coal miners. And my other grandfather was a farmer. And I have a lot of attachment to the land. My father passed down the land, and I have land that I'd like to pass on. But it's not going to do me a lot of good if the land isn't in good shape to pass on. And so this is a great thing. This Reclaim Act is a great thing to make the land healthier, and it's wonderful. And it's wonderful that it's heading in this direction. And the thing is that we do need it to be more than just heading into the direction of just the 25%. We need it to head in the direction of the 100%. The economic stimulus package is the real deal here. We need the youth here to be able to pick up on what Ben and Sarah are talking about and making drivers out of this and picking up and looking at the aquaponics and the solar packaging and the wind power and the things we're not even thinking about yet, and what the future, and not just the youth, but the willing and the able, and who, you know, what is there, whoever's out there, and the diversification of things that are out there to do. And there's so much that can be done in these mountains and all of these mountains and on all of these lands. And we just need to make sure that we have the right language in there. And that's just, I look at the language that's been trying to be left out, and it's like, oh, no, we can't do that. We have to spend this right, because if we don't, we're incentivizing something that is not going to get us. It's going to spin out before it gets traction, and we want to make sure that we pick up enough traction to really make this thing work, because this fund that's there, it's got so much to it, so much power and potential, And we want to make sure that we take full time and potential and credit and make sure that we take the time to make sure we get this right. And it's our future we're looking at, and we don't get many chances at getting this kind of money and this kind of effort and this kind of power behind this thing and bipartisanship behind this kind of thing. And the bipartisanship in itself should be applauded. And we need to really work hard at getting the original language back in shape. And I think it's possible, and I just hope that that's something we can work at. And it's because our youth and our people here are so worthy, and not just here, everywhere, are so worthy of the step up. We've been needing it for so long to get a step up in making this right and doing something right for a change. And this is our time. This is our time to do it right. And Ben, he just blew me away with his presentation, and I'm still just going over in my mind his aquaponics and all this stuff that he's talking about. And we have such opportunities to do things that let's just make sure we don't miss out with 25% when we should get 100%. And I think I'll just leave it at that.
Got it. Thanks so much, Katie. So I really appreciate Sarah and Ben and Katie for sharing with us this afternoon. There was something that sort of popped into my head while they were talking that I realized I hadn't mentioned earlier, but is worth noting, and it's a minor point, but a point of clarification around what this money can be used for. So we're talking a lot about economic development and a lot of economic diversification tonight because it's important, but it's important also to make clear that this money, this $1 billion, will only be used for mine reclamation, okay? This money won't be spent on general economic development purposes. The reason that we're talking about economic development is because there's a way that we could roll out this money in terms of the types of projects, mine reclamation projects, that we incentivize with this money. And it's important that we build into this this proposal sort of language so that we fund mine reclamation projects that really have a process where the community can be thinking about and really engage around how we're going to economically reuse these mine reclamation projects. So just wanted to make a clarification there that while this money will only be spent on mine reclamation, because I think that's a concern that some people have, the money is going to be spent on cleaning up coal mines, but there are different ways that we could do that, and it's important that we do that in a way so that we're very, very serious about incentivizing projects that have economic diversification and really thinking about the economic future of these regions in mind. With that, I'll go ahead and stop our sort of presentation part of this and move into a few minutes here where we're going to take some questions. So these could be questions about legislation. They could be questions about things that folks have said or the projects that Ben mentioned. But you're all on mute now, like Sarah said at the beginning of the call. So if you're interested in asking a question, we need you to press 1 to sort of quote unquote raise your hand, and we'll be able to see who is pressing 1 and sort of is interested in asking a question. And that'll sort of show up on our screen, and we'll be able to sort of call on different folks and unmute you, and then you can then ask your question. So, just to repeat that, we're going to take a few minutes here in case anyone has any questions, and these could be questions about stuff we've talked about, questions about the specific project that's been mentioned. These could be questions about maybe stuff that we haven't even talked about that you're sort of curious about that's related to the legislation. And again, to do that, you press 1 on your phone if you'd like to raise your hand for a question, and then we can sort of see that and unmute you. So it looks like we have our first question. Roseanne, do you want to raise your question?
Sure. Am I connected?
Yep, we can hear you.
Great. Well, I was wondering in regards to right now, I think the timing is good in terms of the GOP needs a win. They need to look like they've got sort of the connection with the populace. And I feel like this would be a gesture of we're not the elites in, you know, D.C. or whatever. But anyway, I feel like there's a chance that Scott County members could do something, but I'm not clear on what the bill numbers are. I know I've got the Senate Bill 738 and House Resolution 173. Are those still current numbers?
They are, and the House number is 1731.
Oh, okay, great, 1731. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And if we have any other questions, again, just press 1 to sort of raise your hand, and then we can go in and unmute you. Well, our presenters must have been very good because we aren't getting that many questions tonight.
Hey, Eric, this is Sarah. Can you hear me?
If you're trying to talk, we can't hear you now, but we could a second ago.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, I don't know why it just cut out. I was going to respond to Roseanne just briefly as well. Roseanne, we're sending an email out tomorrow to everyone who is registered for the call with that information and with a script. And then actually one of the things that I'll lead us through to end the call will give you some information to even contribute and say, yeah, I want to make some calls and help folks in Scott County or wherever be able to do that as well. Eric, I did have a question. Could you tell us a little bit, Roseanne triggered it for me to think about some of the politics of this, like who tomorrow's a call-in day, who are the targets, who are folks can call anyone, but like what's where's sort of the status and the targets of the bill right now?
Sure. Yeah. So I think it would be very helpful for those members who are current sponsors of the Reclaim Act, the Rogers McConnell Reclaim Act, to hear from their constituents about the need for this piece to be in the bill. So this information will be shared in the email that Sarah just mentioned. But if you're in a district like here in Eastern Kentucky where your legislator is a sponsor of the Reclaim Act, it would be especially helpful for you to call your legislator and let them know that this is important to you. Also, if your legislator sits on the committee that the Reclaim Act is in, that's the House Natural Resources Committee, it would also be helpful for them to know that this means something to you. And yet, even if you're not in one of those districts, calling your legislator and Sarah will talk about this in a minute, and letting them know that, you know, the Reclaim Act generally is very important to you. There are some things that, you know, concerns that you have with the language that you would like addressed. And then hopefully once those are addressed, to get the bill through Congress. And we're just going to take a little bit more time to ask for any questions here. If you've had a question come to mind here in the past few minutes, press 1. I think we've got time for about one more question if folks have any. So again, if you have a question, just press 1 on your phone. So it looks like we have a question from Allie. Allie, do you want to ask your question?
Yeah, I don't know what you're referring to when you talk about the 1, 2, and 3 mines. Can you clarify all that for us? The priority mines, what's the difference between a 1, 2, and a 3?
That's a good question. We didn't talk about that. So
I have no idea.
Priority, yeah. I'm glad you asked. So priority 1, 2, and 3 mines, that's just a legal classification. And what that means is that the priority 1 mines are the most dangerous. They're like the greatest threats to human health and safety. And the priority 3 are like the least dangerous or the least threat to human health or safety. So they're all what we call pre-law abandoned coal mines, but that priority designation is just about sort of that, the extent of their danger or threat to human health and safety. And so
the new bill
go ahead.
Only wants to deal with the new bill only wants to deal with the least problematical ones, the 3s. That doesn't make sense.
So what the new bill does is it says you can clean up any mine site with this money, like priority 1,
okay.
2, or 3, but you're only incentivized to be thinking about economic diversification and community input and community stakeholder engagement if you're cleaning up a priority 3 site. If you're cleaning up a priority 1 and priority 2, which, as you noted, are the most dangerous, you're not, you know, we're not prioritizing economic diversification on those projects. That's sort of what the latest iteration of the bill says.
Yeah, and Allie, and just to note that, and this money is this Reclaim Act money would be above and beyond the money that states are already getting, that often goes to cleaning up the priority 1 and priority 2 sites because they are the most dangerous.
Okay. How many are in of each are in Kentucky? Do you have is there some information out there that shows you where the different types or priorities are? I mean, there's...
Yes,
Virginia,
yes.
West Virginia.
Another good question. So if you Google E-AMLIS, E-AMLIS, that's E-AMLIS, it will take you to a federal inventory where there's a map, and you can see these abandoned coal mines and learn more about them. I'll say off the bat, it's not very user-friendly, so it's kind of difficult to use. And so if you're like in a community where you have abandoned coal mines and you're like you'd really like to know like what's around you, you could reply to the email that Sarah sends tomorrow or reach out to me and I could help you sort of look into that. So we have one final question here, and this is going to be from Jesse. Do you want to ask your question, Jesse?
I would love to, but Allie actually already asked both of my questions.
Okay. That's a sign of a good question. Great. Well, then with that, Sarah, do you want to take us into the last part of the call here tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the home stretch. It's a bit. I grew up in a Baptist church in West Virginia. Whenever we do this, it's a little bit like the altar call. Maybe we can get somebody to play "Just As I Am" in the background there, if you know old Baptist jokes. So what we're going to do is provide an email tomorrow with some action steps that folks can take. Tomorrow is a congressional call-in day. So folks all across the country, there'll be an email going out from KFTC to everyone who signed the Power Plus petition, to the Sierra Club, and other folks will be sending out all across the country to have a call-in day tomorrow to Congress. And so we're going to send out an email with information for you how to do that, how to make the call, who to call, and even what to say. And from some of the questions, we even know a couple things to add in, making sure we have the bill numbers from Roseanne's question and that sort of thing. So we're going to end the call with an opportunity to folks to let us know what you would like and are able to do. That way we can follow up with you if we need to about some of these things. So, and to make it easy to take action and to stay in action to pass this bill and to create change in Kentucky and across the country. So we'll have five pretty quick items that we'll go through, and you will participate by, again, using your phone to let us know if you're able to take these actions, if you can make a commitment to taking one, two, three, or five of all of these five actions. So the first one is, tomorrow is the Reclaim call-in day. Like I said, the email that you'll get from me for everyone who registered will include instructions and a phone number that will connect you to your legislator. There'll be two phone numbers. One of them will go to Senator Mitch McConnell as the majority leader and sponsor of this bill in the Senate. We really want him to hear from folks in Kentucky, but folks outside Kentucky could also call if you want to ask him to improve the bill. And then the other will route you to the target legislator in the House. So you'll call these 800 numbers, and you'll have a little recording that will tell you, again, sort of remind you of the message that you can say right then to the staff person who answers the call. So if you can make one of those calls using all of that help and support tomorrow, press 1 on your phone. So if you're willing to call your legislator tomorrow, press 1. And we'll sit here for a little bit, see how many folks press 1. And so, you know, we're doing this because it was frustrating that the bill was introduced without the crucial provisions we've talked about. It's not at the original intent of the bill, and the reason we really threw down so hard in pressuring McConnell. So press 1 if you're able to make a call tomorrow to the legislator to help improve this bill. Right now we've heard from 60% of folks on the call have said that they're able to make a call tomorrow to press 1. You'll have the information in the email as well as a recording to help you right before you get on the call. So if your representative is a sponsor of the Reclaim Act or your legislator is on the House Natural Resources Committee, then it would be especially helpful for you to call. So we'll include a link to where you can see who's on the committee as well in the email. So if you can do that and call your legislator tomorrow, press 1. And so we have at least 3/4 of folks on the call, 75%, have said you can make a call tomorrow. So I'll give you one more opportunity. If you can make a call, press 1 on your keypad, and we'll see what our final total is here. It's always fun to be on this side of the call and see the numbers as they're coming in. So we'll go ahead and wrap up that poll at 75% of folks on the call said you're able to call your legislator tomorrow, and that's really great, and thank you. And if you're not able to do it tomorrow but you want to, a call the next day or the following day will also be really good. So the second thing that we'd ask, this action item number 2, and you'll see this in the email, is can you ask 5 friends to call their legislators tomorrow? These can be friends if you're in Kentucky, if you're anywhere in the state,
You can ask friends not even in the same state as you because they'll be directed. So press 2 if you can ask 5 friends to call their legislators tomorrow. This could be an email. We'll include a little bit of language that you can use to make it real easy, to send a Facebook message, just to make an ask, a text. So if you can ask 5 friends tomorrow or 5 other people you know, it could be 5 Scott County chapter members. Roseanne, press 2 right now to let us know that you can ask 5 folks tomorrow. It'll just sort of help us anticipate how many folks we know are calling in and generate some buzz about it. So far we have 45%. Can we get up to at least half of the folks on this call saying you can? Oh, we just jumped right over it. We're about 54%. So I give you just one more opportunity. If you can ask 5 friends on Facebook, a text, an email tomorrow to make a call with you, press 2 now. We'll go ahead and wrap up that poll, and we're at 58%. This is really great, everybody. Thank you so much. I can already feel the pressure on this day all at once, getting these calls. It's going to be great. So 62% of folks said that they can make a call. So the third thing is writing a letter to the editor. So if you can write a letter to the editor about this issue, press 3. Again, we in the email tomorrow will have even samples that you can use right then and there and tips on how to write a letter to the editor if you want to use your own. And if you're in Kentucky, we'll even have a list of newspapers you can send it to, a link to that. So if you can write a letter to the editor about this issue with support, press 3. You get support through that email, or Eric or I can also follow up for you. Press 3 right now. We have 13% of folks on the call, so you can write a letter to the editor. Press 3 if you can write a letter. And so what happens is these legislators were trying to pressure, see these letters. They have staff people who scan the local media to look at issues. Some of them read it themselves. So press 3 if you can write a letter to the editor. I was happened to be on an airplane once immediately behind Hal Rogers, and I know that he reads the newspaper, and he also does the crossword. Our legislators are seeing these things. So if you can write a letter to the editor, help get this issue in front of them, ask them to improve the Reclaim Act, press 3 right now, and we'll go ahead and wrap up that poll. So go ahead and press 3 if you can write a letter to the editor. And we have almost 50%, almost half the folks on the call can write a letter to the editor, and that can do a good deal of good. So thank you so much. We've just got about 1 minute left, so just a couple other things. Again, you'll have support in this. So our fourth item is if you're interested in setting up a meeting with your legislator at some point in the future on this, press 4. And this is something that we'll definitely look and see who entered 4 on this and follow up with you when it's time in the legislative process to sort of really have a meeting during a recess, during the time they're in the markup process, something like that. But it's great to know folks on this call who are pretty knowledgeable now can go into the call. If you are interested and willing to set up a meeting with your legislator, press 4, and we'll follow up with you on down the road. It can help you do that, help you prepare for the meeting, those sorts of things. So if you're interested in meeting with your legislator on this issue, or at least want to hear from us on how you might be able to do that, press 4 now. So we have 15% of folks so far. I know this is a bigger ask, a bigger thing to do, but this could really help move this bill forward. So if you can, interested, willing, want to know more about setting up a meeting with your legislator on this issue, you press 4 now. We're at 30%. That's really great. Thanks y'all so much. I give one last opportunity. If you're thinking about it, just go ahead and press 4 so that way we know to follow up with you on down the road and give the opportunity to set up a meeting with your legislator. And we are at 45%. I'm going to, is there one or two more people who can say, I'm interested in hearing from you all about setting up a meeting with your support? Press 4 now. See if we can get to 50%. Okay, we'll go ahead and wrap up that poll. And then the last, the very last one, we can't have a call without asking this. More than half of the folks on this call said you're interested in setting up a meeting with your legislator at some point in the future. So thank you all so much for that, and we'll follow up with you, Eric or I, or someone else when it's strategically time to do that in the next few weeks to work with you on that. Thank you all so much. And then the final thing is press 5 if you're interested in becoming a KFTC member or donating to KFTC. You know, this work takes heart and commitment. You've really heard it from folks on this call, from Katie, from Sarah, who took time off of school to go over to Washington, D.C. for the hearing and puts her heart into this, to Ben, Eric, who lives and breathes this every day, and other folks, members and staff folks at KFTC. This takes resources to keep this going. So if you can become a member, if you want to become a member, learn more about that, press 5, or if you'd like to make an additional donation to support this work, this body of work, you can go ahead and do that now. So I'll just give you one more second. If you say, yes, I would love to donate to KFTC, become a member of KFTC to support this work, press 5 now. And then we'll have one very final thing that's always fun at the end to wrap up. So if you would like to make a donation, press 5 now. Okay, so we'll finish with that. We had 10%, but I have a feeling some of the names I saw on this call, like a lot of y'all are already regularly donating, sustaining givers, and KFTC members. So that's great that a couple folks, maybe a couple new members will join us. So just thanks to everyone on this call for your questions, for tuning in, for signing up, for being willing to take action going forward. Just really have great gratitude for everyone. You'll receive an email tomorrow morning. If you're a KFTC member, you'll receive 2. One's a follow-up to this call with all the action steps, and then as well as an official KFTC email about the call-in day itself that you can forward to a friend and share around. So you'll get that. But to finally say goodbye, let's do a great group goodbye. We do this at the end of calls, and it usually feels pretty great. So we'll go off mute here in just a second. I'll count down from 3, and then everybody just say goodbye, good night to each other. So here we go in 3, 2, 1.
Goodbye.
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 Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks
for joining.
Bye.
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 Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you.
You are currently the only person in this conference.